Well, good morning, everyone. I hope that you're all doing well today. Let me just pray for our time in God's Word before we begin. Father, we thank you for this day that you have given to us. We thank you for the ways that you have already helped us today, and we thank you for the ways that you will continue to help us. And as we come to your Word now, Father, we pray that you'd give us wisdom, you'd give us understanding. Help us to see all that you want us to see in your precious word. And we pray this for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's one thing for sure. We all in our lives have things that cause us to be anxious and worried. We all have things that cause us to feel anxious at times. And it might be different for all of us. What might cause you to feel anxious might not cause me to feel anxious. And then what might cause me to feel anxious might not cause you to feel anxious. But we all have things, no matter what it is, we all have things that cause us to worry and to be anxious at times. Well, the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the believers in Philippi, towards the end of that letter, in chapter 4, he starts by giving the Philippian believers some practical insight and advice to help them to deal with some different issues that they were facing. Well, as part of that counsel, Paul gave the Philippian believers some encouraging and practical insight into how to deal with the very big challenge of anxiety and worry in their lives. So we're going to look at what Paul said to the Philippian believers about anxiety and worry, and with the Lord's help, what Paul said to them will speak into our lives this morning. So we're going to look at Philippians chapter 4, and I'm going to read now verses 4 to 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. And this is the Word of God. Paul said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Amen. Well, Paul wrote these words while he was in prison. And the scholars say that he had been there at this point for probably around 2 years. Now, I say this because, with that being the background to this letter, it helps us to see that Paul here is not someone speaking about the issue of anxiety from a place of comfort with nothing to be anxious about himself. Paul did not pen these words, so to speak, while he was sitting in some vineyard in the Mediterranean, enjoying the finer things in life. Paul did not write these words while he was sitting in a Roman bath and sipping espressos. No, Paul wrote these words while he was in prison. Which means, as Paul wrote these very words, he had very real reasons to be anxious about many things himself. To name just a few, was he going to get out? Was he going to get fed? Was he going to get attacked? Was he going to get put to debt? Paul had so many different things to worry about, to be anxious about, while he was in prison. But yet, by God's grace, even while in prison, Paul learned how to deal with the very real issue of anxiety when it came knocking on the door of his life. So yes, Paul is speaking to the Philippian believers about dealing with the issue of anxiety in their lives, but he is doing so from a place of experience. But with that in mind, we're going to focus in on verses 6 and 7 of chapter 4. Because in these two verses, Paul, if you like, he sharpens his focus in on the issue of anxiety. And with these two verses, 6 and 7, he shares his central nugget, if you like, on what he has learned about dealing with the issue of anxiety. Now, as you listen, if you're taking notes or even mental notes this morning, I think it's helpful to see in verses 6 and 7 of chapter 4, in relation to anxiety, Paul gives us the problem, the plan, and the promise. The problem, the plan, and the promise. Now, we're going to briefly look at all three. So first in these verses, we see the problem. These verses clearly identify one of the great age-old problems in life. This was clearly a problem for the Philippians, and all of these years later, it is by no means gone away. It is still a huge problem for us all today, and that is, of course, as I said at the beginning, the problem of anxiety. Being anxious is clearly identified as the fallen condition or the fallen problem in these verses. Verse 6 begins with the words, "Do not be anxious about anything." But what does it mean to be anxious? Well, I think we probably all have an idea or a sense of what it means to be anxious, because it's something that we can all relate to. To be anxious is to be troubled or worried or fearful about how something will develop or work out. And we can all relate to that. Because no matter who we are, we all have things that cause us to feel distressed or worried or troubled at times. We all have things that cause us to worry at times, how will this work out or how will that work out? I know I've got some things churning and turning away in my own heart and mind at the moment that causes me to think some anxious thoughts at times. That's why I need these verses so much in my life. And you know, really when it comes down to it, as believers, being anxious is a failure to trust that God is in control. Being anxious reveals that we're not really sure if the Lord will provide in His wisdom what we need in His timing. Being anxious is looking at our problems and self-reliance or self-pity or even both, rather than looking to the Lord and relying and trusting in Him. And I think that that is something that we can all struggle with at times. So the clear fallen condition problem in these verses is being anxious, something that touches us all. Well, it's one thing to identify the problem, and the Apostle Paul clearly does that in these verses. But then it's a completely different thing to come up with a plan to deal with or fix that problem. And we can all relate to that too, can't we? Because in our daily lives, when something goes wrong, we think, okay, straight away, what is our plan to fix it? We need a plan to fix it. If something breaks down, we think, what is our plan to fix it? If we get hurt, we think, what is our plan to fix it? If there's any sort of a problem, we need a plan to fix it. This past year, myself and Amy had a problem. This was before COVID, when we were hosting our college students from the States. Well, our problem was, a couple nights before the first batch of students were to come, myself and Amy heard the pitter-patter of mouse feet in the attic. Now, although these mice were small, they created for us what was a massive problem. We simply could not have mice running around in the attic or even worse in the bedroom when we had these students staying with us. We had a problem and we needed a plan to fix it. Well, our plan to fix it, at least in my mind, was swift and decisive. The next morning, I got into my little red Fiesta and I went off to get a good shot of mousetraps as fast as I could go. If there's any sort of a problem, we need a plan to fix it. Well, in these verses, the Apostle Paul not only highlights the problem, he then goes on to give us the perfect plan to fix that problem. Paul here does not highlight the problem of anxiety and then just walk away to leave us to try and figure that out on our own strength. No, Paul highlights the problem of anxiety, but then he gives us the perfect plan to deal with or fix that problem. This is what he said. Verse 6 continues, "Do not be anxious about anything," and here it is, "but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So Paul's master plan in dealing with the problem of anxiety is to, in every situation, both big and small, bring our anxieties to God in prayer. And that makes sense. Paul's plan to deal with the problem of anxiety would not be a very good plan if he told us to bring our anxiety to a place where it could not be dealt with. We need to bring our problem to the right place in order for it to be dealt with. As people often say, you don't go to a mechanic to fix your arm. You don't go to a doctor to fix your car. I was not going to get my mousetraps in an ice cream shop. It's important to bring our problem to the right place in order for it to be dealt with. But Paul here, he does not tell us to bring our anxiety to the internet or to blogs. He does not tell us to bring our anxiety to a deep breathing workshop or meditation. Paul does not tell us to bring our anxiety to yoga. He does not tell us to bring our anxiety to even exercise. He does not tell us to bring anxiety to our hobbies. Paul doesn't even tell us to first bring our anxieties to each other. What makes Paul's plan to deal with the problem of anxiety so effective and so brilliant is he tells us to bring it to God, our Heavenly Father, who is the only one who can truly help us. And it's important to note that we present our requests to God in prayer not because God is unaware of our troubles, but rather we present our requests to God in prayer because that brings us to the point of breaking self-reliance and breaking reliance on other things and acknowledging our need for Him. We do not bring our requests to God because He's unaware. Of course He isn't. He is aware. We bring our requests to God in prayer, our anxieties to Him in prayer, because that brings us to the point of acknowledging our need for Him in the troubles that we are facing. And in a similar way, it's also important to note that with being consistent with his double command in verse 4 to rejoice, Paul here includes thanksgiving with our prayers. Why does Paul include thanksgiving? Well, again, when we come to God with a thankful heart, it brings us to an important point. It brings us to an important place. It brings us to the point of knowing that our thankfulness to God, our joy in God, is not dependent on our circumstances or the troubles that we are facing, but rather it is dependent on who He is and His goodness. So again, the thanksgiving part brings us to an important point. It helps to take our eyes off of our troubles, and it helps to keep our eyes on God and who He is. So the problem is anxiety, but then Paul's plan to deal with that is to break self-reliance and to break reliance on other things by bringing our anxieties to God in prayer with a thankful heart, knowing that only He can truly help us. So that is the problem, anxiety. The plan is to bring that to God in prayer with a thankful heart. Well, now we come to the promise. What good is a plan for a problem without some sort of an outcome? Well, when we do bring our anxieties to God in prayer with a thankful heart, Paul gives us the promise of a wonderful outcome. We read in verse 7 that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. This really is incredible. When we do come to God in prayer with a thankful heart, we are promised that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ. Will guard our hearts and minds as we live in Christ as believers. Stephen Lawson, in his commentary of Philippians, tells us that this word guard here is a military term that is used to describe how a soldier watches over or protects or guards a prisoner or a city. Well, this picture would have been familiar to Paul. He was guarded in prison. Well, this picture would have also been familiar to the believers in Philippi. At this time, the city of Philippi was guarded by Roman soldiers. So just as a Roman soldier guards or protects a prisoner or a city, so does the peace of God guard and protect the heart and mind of the one who comes to Him in prayer with thanksgiving. John MacArthur makes the point that this peace of God guards the two organs that we have that actually produce anxiety and worry, and that is the heart and the mind. It is our minds that produce thoughts of anxiety, and it is our hearts that produce feelings of anxiety. So for the one who does come to God in prayer with thanksgiving, they're promised that the peace of God will guard their hearts and minds, it will guard their thoughts and their feelings from further worry and dread, if you like. And I'm sure that a lot of you have seen this to be true in your own life, that there was a time when you were worried about something, you were anxious about something, but then you gave it to God in prayer with thanksgiving, and a peace came, and you could somehow just leave it with God and move forward. This peace of God is not a fantasy or a notion or an abstract idea. It really is something that we as believers can and do experience in our daily lives. When we do come to God in prayer with thanksgiving, this peace of God does guard our hearts and minds as we live in Christ. Now, that is not to say that the problem causing the anxiety will go away. Paul does not promise that. He does not promise that every problem or challenge that is causing us to worry will go away. We reject that kind of prosperity gospel idea that we as believers should expect no problems or challenges at all in this life. Paul does not promise that, nor should we expect it. But what he does promise is that when we come to God in prayer with thanksgiving, we will receive the peace of God in that challenging situation or in that storm that we are facing. As people often say, it is often not the problem that will change. It is our perspective to that problem that will change. In the biography of an amazing Christian lady called Carrie Tippett, she was writing just before she would die in 2016 from terminal cancer as a young mother. But just before she died, towards the end of her life, she wrote this. She said, "Fate and prayer take away the dread, but not always the tragedy." And I think that that is key for us to grasp. Because until we go to be with the Lord, all of us will have problems and challenges in this life. The Apostle Paul does not doubt that. In fact, he had many throughout his Christian life himself. But he does show us, as I said, when we do come to God in prayer with thanksgiving, we can have the peace of God in the storms of this life. There was two Christian artists who were in a competition to paint the best portrait of peace. Well, the first artist, he painted this wonderful scene of a green field with blue sky, the sun was shining, there was a few puffy clouds, the flowers were blooming and butterflies were floating. It was a beautiful scene. Well, the second artist, he painted a sea at storm, and the waves were just crashing, and the wind was howling, and the rain was driving down. But there in the middle of this stormy sea, he painted a picture of a pelican. And this pelican was just there sitting on the waves. And it just looked like this pelican was totally unconcerned with what was happening around him. Which artist won the competition? Well, it was not the artist who said with his painting that peace is the absence of trouble. Because in the real world, in reality, there is no such thing as life absent of trouble. So the artist who won the competition was the one who said with his painting of the pelican that real peace, true peace, is resting and trusting in times of trouble. Prayer with thanksgiving to God won't make our lives all green fields and blue skies. But prayer with thanksgiving to God, maybe somewhat like that pelican, will give us an amazing peace in the storms of this life. So in these verses, we see the problem, the plan, and the promise. The problem is anxiety, something that visits us all. The plan is to bring our anxieties to God in prayer with thanksgiving. And in the wonderful promise is that when we do that, we will receive the peace of God, which will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus through the ups and downs of life. This is not about us trying harder not to be anxious. That will only make us more anxious about being anxious. This passage is not about us trying harder to fix the problem of anxieties in our lives. Rather, it is about us coming to God in prayer, knowing that only He can truly give us peace in the ups and downs of life. And by His grace, when we come to Him, He will. What an encouragement this should be to us as believers. As believers, our hearts and minds do not need to be tormented and constantly tossed and turned and pulled in different directions as we struggle with being anxious on our own strength. As Paul said here in verse 5 of this very chapter, the Lord is near. We do not need to carry our troubles and strive harder to deal with them ourselves on our own strength. We can bring all of our anxieties to our Heavenly Father, and we can receive His peace that will guard our hearts and minds as we live in Christ. Jesus said Himself in Matthew chapter 6, "Do not worry about your life. Your Heavenly Father knows what you need." We can be free from carrying our worries and our burdens on our own back. We can give them to our Heavenly Father, and we can trust that He knows what His precious children need. We're told in 1 Peter 5:7, to cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. What an encouragement this is to us who believe. But in closing, just a final word for those who do not believe. If you're listening in today and you are yet to hear the gospel, or you are yet to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you actually have much reason to be worried and anxious when you consider eternity and what is to come after death. But the good news for you is this: if you will come to Christ, if you will accept and believe what he has done for you on the cross, he will forgive you, he will receive you, and you too can experience his wonderful, amazing peace. You too can experience a peace that this world simply cannot give, a peace that will last on into eternity. What an amazing God we have, that he wants to give us this peace. Let's pray together. In just a few verses later, in verse 9 of this chapter, Paul said, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Well, let's let this be our prayer today. Father, we know that what we have heard from Paul about anxiety in these verses are indeed your precious words. So help us, Father, to, as verse 9 says, put what we have heard into practice so that the peace of God will be with us. Father, we acknowledge in the challenges of life that we all struggle at times with being anxious and worried about things, but we thank you that you have made a way. You have made a way for us to deal with that problem of anxiety. Help us, Father, not to try and deal with it ourselves on our own strength, but rather help us to follow the instruction of your word by bringing our anxieties to you in prayer with thanksgiving. Help us to receive your wonderful, real promise of peace that will guard our hearts and minds in Christ through the ups and downs of life. Father, we pray that you would help us to be anxious about nothing, because we pray about everything. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.